Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The winner of Big Brother 2020.
This is the hardest decision I've ever had to make. My heart belongs with someone else.
You come to my beach, eh? Your game's done.
Welcome to another episode of Reality Is. Now, here's your hosts, Liz and Shane.
Welcome to Reality Is, the podcast that shares with you all the tips and tricks to land yourself a spot on a reality TV show. I'm Liz, winner of The Mole in 2005 and Livingstone in 2016.
And I'm Shane from 2020 Big Brother.
So Shane, first things first, are you still hooked on SAS Australia at the moment? It is smashing the ratings.
I love SAS. I love it. I think it's one of the best shows going around on TV at the moment.
Do you think it's because I feel like it's gone back to the roots of reality TV, where you know that it hasn't been too altered. What we're seeing is just taking place.
Yeah, I don't think you can edit reactions of falling out of a helicopter into freezing water. It's just something that's so real and so confronting. I think audiences love it.
I was listening to Erin McNaught chat on radio today, and she was saying the second helicopter jump they had to do, winds were nearly 100k an hour, and the SAS instructors were saying in those conditions they would never do this. They'd ground the exercise and wait for better weather conditions. But obviously, in a reality TV production, they'd booked the choppers for that day. They had to film the show. They're paying the crew, so they went through with the challenge. And she said, when she jumped out of the chopper, the wind caught her and she landed basically sideways. So she was bruised from under her armpits to her ankles. And yeah, it was very challenging. And it got me thinking, because a lot of times viewers, when they're watching from home, look at these challenges and think, oh, you know, I could do that. But you don't know what the actual circumstances surrounding the filming are. Something I haven't shared before, in the final episode of The Mole, there was the three of us left. I knew John was the mole. There was Craig. There was myself. We had to win the prize money. So John had to go in one of those Red Bull airplanes where you get taken through all these different G-forces and not vomit. Craig had to do the highest bungee jump in the whole of New Zealand, and I had to do a solo skydive. So I trained all day to do a solo skydive. Pretty intense thing to have to do. So really getting my headspace in the fact I'd be jumping out of a plane on my own. And by the time I finished the training, it was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Winds picked up, and the skydive company in New Zealand have turned around to the production team and said, we can't send a plane up in these winds. And they said, you have to. We fly back to Sydney tomorrow for the final episode. This has to be done. What can we do? And so they ended up changing my final task to be a tandem skydive at 15,000 feet, as opposed to I was going to do a solo skydive at 12,000 feet. And we went up in very strong winds. And I remember landing the skydive thinking, thank God they didn't make me do the solo skydive, because I was trying to put my training into action and land myself, and I would have ended up on a roof somewhere, I swear. But those kind of contingencies, when you're watching on the couch at home, you're not thinking, oh, they were up in extreme winds, like Aaron's jump. Another thing that happened on The Mole, funnily enough, is in episode one, and remember this when you're watching these shows, people, there was a challenge to sleep overnight in a snow cave. And I copped a lot of flack because I was the youngest contestant out of the cast, And when they had to select two people to not do the sleep in the snow cave. And of course, someone's trying to be the mole and corrupt the challengers. So everyone thought this was like a big mole game play by me in that I opted not to sleep in the snow cave. And they were like, you're making people in their 40s and 50s sleep in the snow cave. How selfish. And what I couldn't say was I had the heaviest period that day. And all I could think when they were presenting this challenge to us is, how the hell am I going to change a tampon in a snow cave? Like, I'm bleeding through a tampon on a pad and on my clothes and I'm being filmed, and you want me to sleep in a snow cave with no toilet? Yeah. How do I do that? And how do I explain that to the viewers? That people watching were like, oh my God, what a pussy. Like, she can't even sleep in a snow cave for a night. Oh, weak, yeah. Weak.
You were weak. No, that's completely understandable. I'm in the Big Brother house this year, poor bloody Casey, 11 days without taking a shit. 11 days she had to go take it, and they had to take it out of the house to the hospital to allow her to go. And the thing is, with Big Brother, if you're not back within the house in 24 hours, you're actually eliminated. So they've taken her out of the house, given her some medicine, and then put her back in the house. You'll notice in one episode of an eviction, she's not there. It's because she's in hospital. And they had to do the whole thing, that blindfold her all the way there, sound cans on, so she was all disorientated. And then she just woke up in a hospital bed somewhere. And then, pretty crazy.
Yeah, when you're applying for shows like Big Brother, I bet you don't think, am I going to be able to do a poo with cameras on me? Am I going to end up in chronic constipation?
It's tough, you know, because there are cameras above you in the toilet. I mean, like, there's no if,
because there can't be anywhere to hide.
No, like, there's like, if you, especially like when you're a female, you sort of sit behind and sit down to go to the toilet, but when you're a male, you're looking at the camera and you're just aiming. I was aiming at the camera, but I couldn't wee that high. But it's crazy.
Wow, that's invasive. Yeah, obviously, so they don't invasive. Show those shots, but they must be there.
Someone's watching it somewhere.
Oh, my God.
Not only that, talking about extreme, like even some of the challenges I did, it was teeming down with rain. Like, it was torrential downpour with rain, and we were outside with like our fingers in a watering bucket with 5 litres of water in it. And we were out there for 5 hours and 46 minutes with just one arm up in the air in my finger in this water bucket to keep the water in there. And I think Ange ended up winning that challenge. She went for like 6 hours and 30 minutes. And it was teeming down with rain. It was freezing cold.
So you can watch that and you can think, I could push myself and I could be that person with their finger up, but you're not feeling how cold you are in that situation. So let's be kind to those contestants in those challenges. Another incident was Dave on Survivor. He apparently had a really bad head cold for a lot of his experience in Survivor, but that was never mentioned to viewers and why he wasn't doing so well in the challenges. And Lee Castledine, I think it was, had a really bad spider bite through Survivor. So you're not privy to what the contestants are actually going
physically
through.
Physically, yeah.
When we're there judging them.
I kicked Chad, the winner, in the elbow, and he had to have his elbow strapped for like 3 days. You'll notice for 3 days he had to wear a jumper inside the house because they couldn't show him for continuity having his elbow strapped. So I didn't mean to kick him in the elbow. It was just, his elbow was in the way of my foot.
Okay, let's get into the intro.
Righto.
I'm so happy we're going through this crazy adventure together.
Having worked in radio for 7 years for Hit 90.9, you may know our next guest voice. She had a strange reality TV experience. Living on the Gold Coast, she was single and out of love, so she applied for maths. A beautiful soul, pleasure to have on Reality Is, Bella Frizzer.
How did you find out about the casting and what were your thoughts?
Well, it was a little bit different for me. So a friend of mine, Maddie, was down, I can't remember, was it in a park or Burley Beach or something, and there was a bunch of producers there and they were looking for people for maths.
Oh, so you got scouted out and about.
Kind of, yeah. So my friend Maddie was like, they approached him and asked him and he was like, oh, no, I'm good. But I have a friend, Bella, who works in radio, who's single and can't find a man. So she would love to be involved in this.
Single, gorgeous, and can't find a man. Oh, amazing. So what were your thoughts when they came up to you and started asking questions?
Well, I wasn't there. So basically Maddie gave my details and he was like, he called me and goes, oh, my God, you'll never guess, like, what just happened? They might call you. And so they called me and just asked me a heap of questions. And they were like, you know, we really want to find you someone, and asked, you know, were asking how I'd gone about finding someone, and I was like, I tried everything. Like, I've been living here for a couple of years, and I've tried Tinder, and I've tried dating, and I've tried all the normal things, and nothing's worked. So I'm prepared to hand the power over to someone else.
Did you even want to cast? Like, you know, it was just your approach, but did you want to cast when the idea was sort of thrust upon you? Did you think to yourself, oh, do I really want to do this? Or,
well, to be honest, I had watched the first season of Maths, and I watched it and I thought to myself, there is no effing way I'm ever going to do this show. Like, there's no way I'm going to walk down an aisle and meet someone for the first time. Like, you've got to be joking.
Yeah.
And then the opportunity came up and I was kind of like, well, why wouldn't I?
So I'm a big believer in science. So when this show first started, I was fascinated in the concept. And I thought to myself, if I was single, I would never go on The Bachelor and just vie for a man. But I could hand over to some scientists and say, scientifically, match me up with who you think would be a good partner and let's see how this goes. How much science was involved in the casting experience?
For me, not a lot. So because I was handpicked, and I think that I had been thrown into the process towards the end. So they basically had told me that I didn't get in, and it was a couple of months after. I think we started talking in September, October, and in November they were like, you're out of the running, we haven't found you a match. I was like, great. And then in January I got a call and they were like, we've found you someone. It was like a Friday, and they're like, we've found you a match. If you want in, you're going to be getting married on Wednesday. So it was like Friday, Wednesday.
Oh my gosh.
So there was no time to do this science thing. And I always think, like, I've watched a couple of series since then, and they do the like pheromone testing with the t-shirt. I never did that.
Oh, I feel like you got cheated.
I know. I think so too. And I mean, this is way getting into the chat now, but when the guy and I actually got to know each other and we got to know things about each other, we're like, we don't think we've been matched to be matched. We think we've been matched because the things that we don't want in a partner, each of us has.
You're kidding.
And we thought that they had matched us for drama as opposed to for love.
Do you think that they do cast some couples for love and some couples for the show?
Yeah, 100%. I think that they might go, cool, there's one Cam and Jules in this series, and then the rest is just going to be catastrophe.
See, I use Cam and Jules as an example to producer Brad, who doesn't believe in the reality of these reality shows. They're the couple that got married at first sight, are still together today, and have just had a baby.
Yes.
So there is some reality in these shows.
And there's another couple, Aaron and Bryce, who they're in the series before me, so series two, and they're still together. They built a house together.
Martha's still with her partner too.
Yeah.
From the most recent version. And then there was another Maths baby from season one.
Yeah, they're not together anymore.
They're not together anymore.
But they were for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thoughts, Shano?
Yeah, I was just...
You sorted your mic out now?
Yeah, my mic actually fell off during that conversation.
I just ignored you. I was like, here's our rookie.
It kind of fell down. I was juggling it and then I was holding it like you know, Robbie Williams, just up in the air. Like,
let me entertain you,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, I was very... And then I was trying to make no noise at all, but Brad and I sorted that out, I think, didn't we?
Until I drew attention to it.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. But I was going to ask, because I know how work and going to castings, even though you're pre-cast and all that sort of stuff, did you still have to go up to castings and juggle work and that sort of thing?
Yeah, I did. They obviously wanted to see me in front of a camera, mm-hmm. and how I worked on camera and answered questions. So I went up to Channel 9 in Brisbane and did like a face-to-face chat with some of the producers there, and I nailed it.
Were you nervous?
Oh yeah, I remember I was like sweating. I was like, oh my god. It was like I think it was like obviously in like October, November, so yeah. It was like a warm day anyway, and I remember just like sitting there and being like I was like dripping with sweat. I remember I was like so nervous, like, oh my, like, because there's all these cameras, like, you would know, cameras, lights on you, and it, like, it's quite a warm feeling anyway to be there, so added stress on top of that is just like crazy.
You do live radio. Do you have any tips for listeners on combating nerves in that environment?
Usually I just kind of channel all of my nerves. I mean, I don't really get them anymore for radio, but into like excitement. And I think that that's definitely what I did when I was doing the interview for Maths. I was just like, I'm excited, I'm nervous, but I'm just going to put all of that nerve energy into the excitement factor and just, you know, kind of work on that. And that usually works.
I was also interested to hear, what do you wear for an audition like that? I mean, because you wear something like sexy, or I don't know, do you, I don't know, you know what I mean?
Conservative.
Yeah, you know, like white guys.
Did you think to wear white? Yeah. Like, should I present myself as this virgin, is how I look as a bride?
Oh, I was thinking more virginity, like white soil sort of represents virginity and pureness, you know?
Yeah, I definitely didn't do that.
Yeah. But those who watch the show know that, right?
Yeah, you're very sensual. Is that the word? Yeah. I wasn't going to say sexual, so. But that was, for someone that you said you didn't do the pheromone test, there was definitely a chemistry between you guys at first sight.
Yeah, there definitely was. We were really lucky there because that's what they say. They're like, we can count on everything else being a good factor, but we can't count on there being a spark. Mm. They can't make that, science can't make that happen. So yeah, we're lucky that we did have that initially because I think you like, when you do something like this, you really G'd up in your mind, what is this person going to look like? Am I going to be attracted to them? That's the number one thing. So when we saw each other and we're like, I mean, I was attracted to him. I'm pretty sure he was attracted to me.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Was there a flood of relief in that moment?
There was, yeah. You know, and you're like, oh, this is, oh, okay, yeah. So that was good. But then it's like I said earlier, we got to know each other and we didn't really mesh with the people that we were.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Back to the casting experience.
Yes.
What was the process? How many days were involved? Did they ask you questions? Did you have to do self-tapes? Was there random phone calls?
Yeah, there was a little bit of that. So I had to do, in answer to your question about what I wore, Shane, I just kind of use these things as like a almost like a job, like how I would dress for a job interview.
Okay.
You know, so like still look professional, put a little bit of like my Bella flavor and a little bit of sexy, a little bit of sassy.
Nice.
You know, make sure that's in there. But also, you know, like you're going to present yourself for the first time. So, you know, got to look your best. So I think I was wearing like a skirt and top. But anyways, so I had to do a video entry. I still had to apply. So even though they were interested in me, they're like, we want you to apply officially through the website and you have to answer 50 million questions, mm-hmm. as you would know. And then also do like a video recording. So I did like a selfie video in the studio at work. And I was like, hi, my name's Bella. This is why I need a husband. and then just did all of that, sent it in. And yeah, that's when we got to the next stage of going up there and doing an interview there. But I'm pretty sure that was kind of the only one I had to do. I spoke to them again on the phone and they were like pretty much, you know, checking what I was after exactly in a man. And then, yeah, and then that was kind of it. I didn't hear anything for a couple of months, so.
Damn it, no science. Like they didn't take swabs and.
No.
This is meant to be a science experience.
I didn't expect it to be like Frankenstein and just go like, you know. It's so funny that you're just like sitting there with like dudes in lab coats. Like
the thing that imprinted on me the most was the sniffing of the t-shirts. Yeah. So I'm disappointed that you didn't
get
that.
Disappointed about that as well because I'm like, you know, my now boyfriend, I'm so attracted to his, like, I was telling him, like, I'm so attracted to your sweat, babe, you know, like, your pheromones. I, like, love it. But, yeah, I never did that.
Where were you when you got the phone call that you had scored a spot on the show?
I was at work and I was just about to go on air and I remember I was kind of at my desk and I was like, what is this random number calling me? And went into a meeting room, I was like, hello, and they're like, hey, it's Adina from Married at First Sight. I thought it was a joke. I was kind of like, oh, this is one of my friends having me on. And I was like, yeah, yeah. Well, I was like, oh, okay, yeah. And they're like, we've found you a match, so you'll be getting married on Wednesday. And it was, like I said, it was Friday. And I was like, oh, okay. And I was like, oh, let me just, they're like, you're going to need the whole of next week off. And I was like, oh, okay. So I got off the phone and I had to go tell my boss. And he wasn't too impressed that I would have to have the week off. And Married at First Sight wasn't even really like a well-known show then. It was kind of like a just a random one. So, yeah, it took a little bit of convincing to get annual leave for the next week. But, yeah, made it happen.
You were ahead of your time. Married at First Sight. Now, you look at the ratings. Your Instagram career would have been set up for life if you'd been on this last season.
I know, Liz. I'm so devastated. I'm like, I got gypped. I got ripped off. Like, we're talking, you know, shout outs to Mike from Maths. Pretty stoked that you guys got me over him, just saying.
Actually, Shane was on Big Brother 2020 and he got 7,000 followers on Instagram?
Seven.
So just impressive.
Just seven people.
Just seven people. One of them was my auntie, which is not really nice about it.
Well, you know what? It's like you think to yourself, what am I doing? Like, I didn't get paid to go on there. We got a weekly allowance of $150 bucks for food. It's like, why do you go on these shows? I thought to myself, the worst thing that can happen is that I make a friend. The best thing is that I could maybe find a partner / maybe get a little bit more ahead in my career. In some way, you know, you can't not think that, especially because I have a media mind. And yeah, it kind of annoys me now. I'm like, oh my God, Martha's got 250,000 followers and I'm sitting on a little 13K, which has dwindles every day. So yeah, I think that it would have been nice to have walked away with a little bit more of a following so I could have incorporated that into my everyday life.
What was it like to be on the show and having that cameras in front of you and having those intimate moments together, you know, and having it on national television? Was that like just really intrusive?
Yeah, it was really annoying actually. Like nothing can prepare you for that. I think like the wedding and stuff, like there was just cameras everywhere and we were being filmed 24/7. And I remember we got back to the hotel and we hadn't had 5 minutes alone, you know, and it was 3, 4am and they were kind of still filming and asking questions. And I remember saying, I'm so sorry, I cannot do this anymore. I was like, I can't speak anymore. Like, I just can't, my mouth isn't moving. Like, I'm done. And then, you know, they were like, okay, we'll be back in 2 hours to take you to your honeymoon. So like literally 2 hours, they woke us up at 6am, we were out again. Wow. So it's just exhausting, and they do push you to the points of exhaustion because they obviously want the reaction they need on TV, on the cameras. But yeah, there was a couple of times where, because I was still doing my everyday life, I was still working, and they, you know, I'd come home, I would actually like loiter at work longer. Like usually I leave work at like, you know, 3:34, I'd be there till 5:30, 6 o'clock. I'd be walking in there. Yeah, they're like, okay.
In my safe place.
Yeah. But they'd be waiting at home like, okay, can we just get you walking in the door again? Like everything. And I remember one morning I was like, can I just please go for a run on my own? I just want to go for a run. They're like, oh, no, we'll come with you. Like, we'll be here at 5:45 to come with you. Like, oh, God.
But that's reality TV.
Exactly.
And that was your real life.
Yes.
I was just going to say, it's just funny how reality on television and the edited process of reality TV is, like, I guess, demonstrated on television. You know what I mean? Like, it's so different from what you actually do and then what's shown on television. And it's reality TV. It's not like a continual 24-hour camera on you. It's like snippets of the day.
Would you say that what the audience got to see was real or heavily edited?
Yeah, look, I have a pretty different opinion to a lot of people who go on reality TV because I do understand it from a media mind. I get, like, they're making a TV show. They're not making something, like, they're wanting to get reactions out of people. They're wanting a storyline. And, you know, and I always say this, everything that I said on that show was me. It wasn't them making me say something or, you know, something like that. It was me saying it. And so I own everything that I said. And yeah, look, you know, What the producers said to me before the show went to air was, this is going to be a caricature of you. It's not going to be your actual personality, but it's going to be like an on steroids one of you, because the audience needs to get to know you in a short amount of time. So I kind of understood that, and I still do, even though I did get, you know, attacked quite badly after a certain episode aired, and, you know, there was different things like that going on, but I still to this day own everything I said and did.
On that note, did you have to do a health check, mental health check, run through with the doctors before being cast?
Everything. They literally had to know my life story.
Like, how did you find that process? Quite invasive, or you were open to it?
Yeah, I was definitely open to it, because I knew that everyone else was going to get that same thing. And it's like, you know, even like the whole like checking for STDs and things like that, like you want them.
Of course they'd have to check that.
Yeah.
Or they could be liable when they're encouraging people to sleep in beds together.
Exactly. So yeah, that bit of it is, I think it's necessary.
I'm mind blown by that. I'm thinking that one through. Wow. Because could you imagine if it came up?
Exactly.
Exactly. Exactly. That'd be scary, wouldn't it? Like in that process, and they go, by the way.
We wanted you, but we can't have you because you have chlamydia.
Yeah.
Oh, do I?
Oh, yeah. Shit. Hang on.
I'm going to make some phone calls.
Bella, highlight of the experience. It could have been a moment in your casting, because the whole process for you was woe to go. It wasn't just the show. But is there a moment that kind of, when you lay there at night and think back to that crazy experience that was Married at First Sight, jumps forefront of mind?
Yeah, well, I think it sounds cliche, but you can't not learn something about yourself in a process like this. Like your whole, like the producers get to know you pretty quickly as a person, and your whole, you know, everything is just laid out on the line and as who you are. And I think that at the time I was not ready for a relationship. I was so selfish, and I was just, you know, on this one-way road to just doing what I wanted and what I needed. And so it was a really big lesson in my life as a person in like being selfish and like, you know, like I think I take that into every relationship since then, that it's not just about me. It's not just about Princess Bella. It's about, you know, the other person in the relationship. That's something that I really learned pretty quickly.
I think that's beautiful and so self-aware now. So good on you. So you don't, oh, actually got to say, I was about to say, so you don't regret the experience, but that's how we close our show. That's our final question. So just, I'm not going to be assumptuous. I'm going to go back to, were there any behind the scenes secrets that you could share with us?
Yeah. So there was a couple of times with this one producer who I didn't like. And he was like, I could tell he in the past seasons, he was the ones that really pushed to get like a reaction out of people that was a little bit, what's the word I'm looking for?
Emotive?
Yeah, just like controversial.
Swayed.
Yeah, so the this one time I was cooking dinner for old mate, and he...
Hey, old mate, shout out to you.
Thanks, old mate.
And he wasn't there. So he was actually moving from Brisbane in this whole process as well. So he was moving down to the Gold Coast. So this one night he was stuck in traffic from Brisbane. You know what the traffic's like from Brisbane. It's always bad. And I was kind of cooking dinner, and then he was filming me, and he was like, so your husband is going to miss the very first meal you're cooking him. How do you feel about that? And I was like, oh yeah, don't really care, whatever. Like, used to being on my own anyway. And he was like, but aren't you pissed off that he's not going to be here? Yeah. And I was like, no, not really. And then I could just see what he was doing. It was actually annoying me, because it was the end of the day. I was tired. It was like 7 o'clock at night. I was done. And then I had to call my dad for something. I was like, put it on loudspeaker. Put your dad on loudspeaker. And I was like, no, I'm not doing it. I'm not putting him on loudspeaker. Like, I know what you're trying to do. And he's like, tell your dad that you're annoyed because Michael isn't home, like for the first meal, you know? And I was like, oh God. I know what you're doing, like, and I was just kind of being quite stubborn to that whole thing. And I don't know, looking back, I probably could have been a little bit less. It may have been a better storyline if I had been a bit more, you know, into it. But I just was, I had my back up against, I know that was around the time where everyone was like, they know what's happening in reality TV. They know that they're trying to like make a story and make someone look bad. So I was pretty aware of that. At the right. time.
Always fishing, aren't they, to try and get you to do something that's, like I said, controversial or emotive or something like that. How long was the actual filming? How long were you away filming, or they were in your life filming for the show?
It was only 3.5 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Whoa. So you had 3 days before you got married, and then 3.5 weeks with this husband.
Yes.
Before you had to make final decisions and Australia made their minds up about you guys as a couple.
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty sure my season was only 8 episodes. And now it's like, what, like 48 or something. Yeah.
I was thinking earlier when you said you had to get married so quickly, I was like, could you even get a spray tan in that time?
Oh, Liz.
I mean, you want to look the best you can for your wedding day.
And mind you, I had been sunburnt, so I was peeling and I had to get a spray tan. I was like, I'm not getting a spray tan. So I went in the spray and I remember I was like peeling. My whole back was peeling at the wedding. Like, it was bad. But yeah, and you don't have no time to... You know, I would have liked to have lost a couple of kilos back then. Like, any kind of shredding for the wedding stuff. Like, but, you know, just it's what it is.
Well, you still looked beautiful. I had a similar experience with the mole. I was given a phone call on the Friday and by Monday we were flying out.
Oh.
I think that can be intentional at times, that you don't get to overthink it. You don't get to tell too many people. You can't meddle within things and they catch you off guard on the fly.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what they do.
I was different. They told me like a month out, so I had like time, but you know, you could sign contracts and stuff like disclosure and all that sort of stuff, so you can't say anything or I'll just kick you off the show basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Final casting tips for those that want to go through with this science reality experience.
I would say if you're looking for love, don't go on that.
Go and find one once a while.
Yeah. Go to a nightclub.
I mean, yeah, like if you're looking for a life lesson or if you're looking, I don't know, to meet new people, definitely go on it. But I mean, in a way, nothing can really prepare you for something like this, as you would both know. But yeah, just kind of be prepared for anything. Don't expect that you know what's going to happen or how it's going to unfold, because I think I especially heard along the grapevine these days, they're looking for drama and they're looking for a really good storyline, especially now that they've had every storyline and they've had the cheating and everything. So if you want to do it, that's great, but just be prepared to be maybe not liked by Australia.
As someone who's been through the casting process, what would you advise to give you a greater chance of being cast by the producers?
Just be yourself. I think for me, that was, you know, I mean, it sounds dumb and cliche, but like, I think for me, like really being myself, and like, I am a confident person anyway. And I just went in there and I was like, if they don't like me for me, then, you know, there's no other point. Like there's no other person in the world that is you. So don't try and be someone that you're not, which I think is actually hard for a lot of people when they're on camera. They feel like they've got to be this person. And I think that's what was going on in my marriage with the other guy.
Old mate.
Old mate. I mean, I don't want to speak too much about him because he's not here to defend himself, but it's interesting. I think when people get put in front of cameras, they feel like they've got to be this person. They've got to be a celebrity. I don't know. It's hard to explain. Would you say, Shane?
I think if you're not, we've discussed this before during castings, if you're not that overconfident, funny, outlandish person, don't be it. Be who you are inside yourself, because they are looking to cast that person as well. You know, they're not just looking for the flamboyant, you know, out of the skin, jovial wolf head all the time, like myself, or they're looking for the stay at home mum. They're looking for
the girl next door, the businessman. Yeah. Yeah. The lawyer.
Because they like the dynamic, you know what I mean? If everyone was just loud, no one would get hurt.
Well, you think about the viewership too. Yeah. It's the whole of Australia and they want people in this cast that are relatable.
Yeah.
So you are a member of the nation. Go in and be that member and own it.
100%. Absolutely.
Would you do it again?
Look, I don't regret anything. I don't regret doing it. Obviously, I'm in a very happy relationship now, so I don't think I'd ever need to do it again.
Round of applause, love.
Yeah, love.
He just moved in yesterday, actually.
Let me know when you're getting married. I know a great marriage celebrant, actually.
Do you?
www.
Quick plug there, just saying.
I wouldn't say no to a reality TV series, but I think I've done maths. I wouldn't do it again. I'd do something else.
Like SAS Australia.
Yeah, maybe not that.
I would, if just saying, if you're out there.
For Shane's our fourth ready. Episode in a row,
I've been asking
Shane
to get
would
on.
Do SAS Australia.
Or maths, are you talking about maths?
Not maths. I'm
fast. Yeah, you'd maths. Be on maths as the celebrant.
Oh, yeah, I could, actually. Yeah, I could do the celebrant stuff. But, SAS I'd like to go on if they'd have me.
Bella, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Thanks, Bella.
And if people want to stay in touch with you these days, how can they find you? Your Instagram account plug, where can they listen to you?
Yes, you can listen to me at Hit Gold Coast. You can download the Hit app and listen on there, but you can also find me on Instagram. I'm at Bella Frizzer.
You can share your audition nightmare experience or tell us what you want to know ahead of your casting. Head to www.realityispodcast.com.
And please, while you're there, hit the subscribe in the top right-hand corner and rate our show so that other listeners can find us, share with your friends. All this will help us keeping making the show for you.
Also, flick us through any questions you'd like to know from Shane's Big Brother experience or mine on The Mole. Or if you have any interest in how things work on an international production for Livingstone in Botswana. Gosh, she's such a lovely girl. I'm glad to hear that she's found love. Do you know what I found really interesting from that chat was that when she watched the series back, discovering that self-awareness of how you are in a relationship. I remember when I was watching The Mole back, just wanting to tell myself to shut up so often. My mum's a principal of a school. We're a very direct family. I didn't realize how bossy I am. I was the youngest person on the show and I was often the one giving the most directions. I was like, oh God, tone it down, Liz. Did you find yourself watching?
Yeah, I always like cringe. Sometimes I'd leave the room because I cried a lot on the show. And so I just left the room because I was like, oh, here we go again, Shane with the tears. So yeah, it was. It's hard to watch yourself on. It's cringeworthy television sometimes.
But it's a very unique experience being able to watch yourself through a process like that. And it does give you some insight into who you are when you let your guard down in a film 24/7.
I'm so stoked that Bella's found love. You know, she deserves it. She's a beautiful person. I'm stoked. She's already promised that I could be a marriage celebrant, so I'm very happy about that.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.